Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome in, 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport, Morgan Alexander, making the show happen with the Wheels of Steel. Joined now by Mr. Bruce Feldman, at Bruce Feldman, CFB, on Twitter. Bruce, great to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
This latest article, The Game Within a Game, Secrets of a College Football Signal Stealer, it's on The Athletic, which, by the way, we gave a great plug to The Athletic earlier, just some fantastic writers and some amazing content. We've tried to direct a whole lot of people there to help you guys out with some subscriptions.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
But I'll tell you, after reading this article, I'm going to tell you, Bruce, I was shocked. Cheating in college football? I am completely and utterly shocked and outraged about this.
Who would have thought it, right? Who would have thought it? So much money, so many people, so just hyper-competitive folks. Yeah, you would never guess this. But yeah, it's about as widespread as it could be, and it's been going on for a long time. And the way the game of college football has evolved, you know, with no huddle and up-tempo, the last, you know, 20 years has been more and more conducive for it. And there are some guys who are really, really good at it, especially as college coaching staffs have gotten more and more bloated.
I think one of the things that really stood out to me, because we have, you know, this, okay, cheating's unethical, the stealing the playbook, the sneaking into practice and recording stuff. You look at that and you say, okay, that's unethical. One of the quotes from your piece that stood out to me was, okay, if somebody steals my signals, it's on me. This is what one of the coaches said, because basically it's up to you to keep things changed up. So what was kind of the, I guess, talk of the ethical part of it when you talk to these coaches and signal stealers? What was their take on that?
Well, there seems to be a threshold for this. And if you cross it, for instance, there's a lot of schools that have their practice facility. There might be, like, say, a parking garage nearby. You know, if they're playing the arch rival, you know, I think they're going to be hypersensitive if they see somebody suspicious with binoculars, you know, down the street or across the street, looking up, looking down from the third floor. I think they are very skeptical, and it would be frowned upon if they knew people were videotaping their signals, because that to them crosses a line. Certainly, you know, I had one older coach point out to me, he goes, yeah, I remember a story where, I don't know if it was his school or his school was the kind of the victim of this, but somebody put somebody in a student band for, like, I guess it was a graduate assistant who actually knew how to play the trombone.
Oh,
just
my
in
gosh.
A way to get added intel. I think that would be frowned upon. So there's a lot of that stuff, but when it comes to, hey, there's a guy like I probably had four specific signal stealers that I spoke to for the story of the 20 plus coaches. And a lot of the common MO between those guys, including the main guy and some of the other ones I talked to, was just, hey, you got your binoculars, you have your pen and your pad, you're looking down, and you are charting every little body movement of guys you think are the signalers. And then, you know, it's like, okay, and here's the cause and effect, and what can you match up? And you become a really, really diligent student of observation of human behavior. And so it's fascinating to see, like, how these guys feel like, yeah, there may be three guys signaling on the sideline, but we can tell over a not that long period of time who the actual live guy is. They feel really confident in their ability to scout it out. And you talk to enough people who work with some of these guys, and they'll go, yeah, you know, so-and-so can get your signals in a hurry, surprisingly so. And he is right almost all the time. And that's quite an asset.
Bruce Feldman, our guest. Bruce, I heard you doing an appearance on the Feinbaum show, and you said basically, you know, these are backup quarterbacks. They're not actors. You know, they're not trained actors. So watching their body language and things where a lot of these movements get picked up. But again, these are just three guys who aren't starting at quarterback. They're not Laurence Olivier out there.
Exactly. And even more to the point, all right, so those are the guys on the sidelines who know how to do it. What about the starting quarterback who he sees, you know, his eyes are focused on one specific guy, and then maybe he turns his head when one of those guys, you kind of match up, okay, this guy stopped moving, then, you know, this position player turned around because he's completely disregarding some other people. I mean, all they're really worried about is what goes on, what they're doing on the field as a player, not necessarily, you know, they have enough stuff to try to keep straight. You know, they're college kids, and they're trying to perform in front of, you know, 80,000 people, and God knows what else is on their minds. I mean, one of the coaches I talked to, who's in the Pac-12, said, you know, some of their guys, he goes, I've seen our guys, you know, give away some of our signals in warm-ups just because they're being knuckleheads and they're not really thinking about, you know, who knows what's on their mind, you know. But that's what you're dealing with a lot of times when you're dealing with 18, 19-year-old kids. And that's why, you know, a lot of people have read this story on The Athletic, the thing that they're kind of, whoa, you know, taken back by is some of the signals that get picked up, quite a few of them, you're like, okay, that's not exactly too complicated to figure that one out, you know, that you run, you know, a signal for running the power is a flexed bicep, or somebody look like they're doing a barbell curl, or putting their fist into their hand. I mean, it's like, yeah, I can kind of see why that signal is what it is. But you got to remember, you know, these guys want the players to play fast, and they want everybody to remember it. And if you say, you know, that's a lot more easy visual to remember that than like touching your eye four times and then grabbing your ear. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, those old baseball signals are a lot trickier to remember.
I will say this, though, reading the piece, I kind of put myself into the shoes of the signal stealer. I mean, there's a chance to be wrong and blow up the play in the opponent's favor. I feel like my blood pressure would be sky high the entire game if I'm stealing signals and when to say, okay, here you go, this is coming or this isn't coming. Did you get that at all from them? I feel like you have to be a confident kind of person to trust yourself there.
Yeah, and a lot of them say, you know, we're not going to do it too soon. And you're dealing with a relatively small sample size of how many plays of a certain kind of signal they run. The thing that really kind of blew me away, I was talking to a guy who's mostly been in the NFL but has spent some time in college. He was talking about how he was one of the guys, like a lot of these guys, whose role was to identify personnel, meaning, you know, is it going to be two backs, you know, on a given play, or are they going to, you know, substitute in, you know, four receivers or whatever. And he said, you know, you are trying to go as fast as you can and what you're calling out. And he said, there's a time you're sitting up there with your binoculars, and he goes, I screwed up. I was right 60, I think he said 64 out of 65 instead of like 66 out of 67 plays. It was one thing he got wrong. And he goes, the reason why, he says, is because a jersey got scrunched together, and the guy he thought was 88 was actually 83, and that's the difference between a guy being a tight end and a receiver. And so the defense, you know, the personnel grouping that the defensive coordinator was responding to, they thought they were going to see a bunch of receivers. Instead, they saw more tight ends than they wanted, and they got the ball run down their throat, and he would cost us the game.
Oh.
And, you know, just I could see how you can – we all sit in press boxes from time to time where you sit and go, I can't tell that number. Is that 88 or 83 or whatever? And he goes, that's why, you know, before games, I'm sitting there going, okay, I got my pen and pad. That guy has three wristbands on his left arm. That guy has, you know, one on his elbow. This, you know, it's like that guy has long socks. It's not easy, especially when you're going so, so fast. And I think that's the challenge for these guys.
Well, you talk about the speed and kind of this offense we see on the college level, a lot of RPOs, all of that. How does that affect the signal stealers?
Well, a great example from this, I talked to a younger offensive coordinator, and he had told me, he goes, our defensive coordinator thinks if I can just find out if it's run or pass, he goes, I'm golden. He's like, those days are over.
Yeah.
He said, I will call, and this is the offensive coordinator, he goes, I will call 75% run plays, but the balance is more 50-50 because our quarterbacks are trained to kind of be counter punchers. And so whether, you know, it's going to, whether it's an RPO or something else they have adjusted to when they see what the defense's solution is, that's how it's like they're kind of coached to make you always wrong. And so, you know, the defensive coordinator thinks he's ahead of the game by finding out something, you know, can it help? Yes. Can it be a game changer for him? Not necessarily, depending on, you know, how adept and how experienced and how smart that, that rival quarterback is.
Bruce, it was really interesting read. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, sir. Reporter with Fox Sports, FS1, and again, at the Athletic CFB on Twitter, The Athletic. Thanks again so much for the time. We really appreciate it, and would love to get you back on again sometime.
My pleasure. Anytime, yes, guys. Thank you.
Bruce Feldman, the man absolutely knows college football.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And if you wonder how prevalent this is, one of the coaches in the interview told him 80 to 90% do it. My question is, for the other 10, what are you doing?
you need to get on it.
What in the world are you doing? We need to get on it. When we come back, an unbelievable story about Japan's World Cup team and fans. You won't believe what they did after they lost a heartbreaking game. Stick around. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
The Jeep Celebration event going on now at Gupton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Great selection of all new 2018 Jeep JL Wrangler Unlimited. The all-new 2019 Ram 1500 reduced to employee pricing for this event. Go see my friends Ken Gupton, Daniel Gupton, the guys. They are great people. They want you to include them in your car buying process. That's all they ask, and I would ask the same thing, and you'll be glad that you did when you do. I've bought multiple vehicles from them. Low, low lease payments on the 2018 Ram 1500 Quad Express, $209 a month for 36 months. With only $28.99 due at signing, the Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sport, $229 a month for 36 months. With only $29.99 due at signing, or the Jeep Renegade for just $189 a month for 36 months with only $28.99 due at signing. GuptonMotors.com is the website. They have great people and great deals for any of your automotive needs. Gupton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Springfield, Tennessee, just 30 minutes from downtown Nashville.